It's now time for a very solstice edition of Game Pass or Pass. This is not the second take of this episode. This is the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service to tell you which games to pass to your friends and which games to just hit that godlike alchemist feeling
and just pass on lost. By. Clearly. What did you do in this game?
What did you do in this game? I am Corey. I am joined by my fellow solstice warrior, Basher.
That's way more apt. Thank you. Yeah, that makes way more sense to me.
Clearly. We are here to talk about Sea of Stars. Thieves.
Wait, what? Wrong game. I played the wrong game.
That would put so much into perspective. It's not even funny. I wouldn't even know what to do. We're not here to talk about Sea of Thieves. We've given that enough tries, enough episodes. Did we give that game two or three episodes? I don't remember.
Three, actually. I don't know why, but yeah. We keep going back.
We tried really hard to like Sea. If we do like Sea of Thieves, it's just I want Sea of Thieves too. Sea of Stars. But before that, did you know that you can let us know what you like about Sea of Stars? 574-651-9256. Maybe you were playing. I already forgot the name of that game. What's the Bethesda game?
Oh, Starfield.
Starfield. Wow. I wanted to say Solstice because I've now said that word so
Xbox
many times.
Xbox exclusive.
Maybe you were playing Starfield. When you were playing Starfield, we were playing some Sea of Stars. Here's the details on this one. This is a. I like it, but I don't like it. Promising the sabotage touch in every system, Sea of Stars aims to modernize the classic RPG in terms of turn-based combat, storytelling, exploration, and interactions with the environment while still offering a hearty slice of nostalgia and good old simple fun. A journey of peril and wonder awaits in this classic-inspired turn-based RPG. That tells you absolutely nothing about Sea of Stars. That's like the ChatGPT. Like, how would you describe a 16-bit RPG in the vein of Chrono Trigger? And that's what it would spit out. Sea of Stars. Let's talk about it.
Well, let's start with the stuff I do like a lot. The battle system, I think, is I'm a big fan because it keeps you engaged all the way throughout the game. Like, you really can't sit the controller down and just kind of turn your mind off too much. Yeah, you still got to keep up with the input commands, meaning it's very, people compare it to Chrono Trigger a lot, but I really got a lot of Super Mario RPG, more or less.
Yeah, this was far more super, like the look of it is definitely Chrono Trigger, but the gameplay
and sound,
the gameplay is far more Super Mario RPG in my opinion, and that's a good and a
positive,
bad thing.
Right.
Yeah. Like, so it's quite easy, like Super Mario RPG, in my opinion as well. Like, very, very little times will you die. And if you die, it's usually because you messed up, you know, like you're just not paying attention or, you know, or you're just bad at it, I guess, but it's not difficult. So granted, I have not played Chrono Trigger in a very long time, so I don't remember that game being super difficult either, but I remember losing far more in that game than this game. So.
Yeah, I agree. And so, power system is really good, and the good that I like, but later on we'll get into it, but also the negative part of this is the exploration. I really liked, if it makes sense, how you move through the game. Because again, like, the game never really just lets you disengage, for better and for worse. Like, even when you maneuver through just areas, you're constantly doing a little something, and to me that's a good and a bad thing, because the really good thing about it is, again, like, you're always engaged with the game, so there are tons of tiny little puzzles, like move the block here, grapple over there, climb here, drop there, like rewind time, but change the time of day here and there. Like, there's really neat things.
I mean, to kind of set up what you were saying, I mean, it's the plot of the game is very much, you know, your two Solstice Warriors are your Valerie and Zale. So I'm curious, who did you pick as your main, Valerie or Zale?
Well, Well, it says right off the bat, it doesn't matter who you pick.
Right, but who did you pick?
I picked the lady. I like the role play.
Of course. I there was something about Zale. I'm just like, he looks fine, but he looks too much like a hero. Like he's got
right,
like
the, exactly, yeah.
He's got the yellow hair. Even though Valerie's got blue hair, Zale's got like the yellow hair. He's got like the very Goku look to him, you know, or like Kid Goku. And I was like, I don't want to be Kid Goku. But it's the story is basically, you know, your childhood friends, and you are chosen as the warriors, and you gotta go into war, basically. So it kind of the reason it sort of kind of takes you from place to place is because you're adding people to your party. You've got Garl, you've got other people with you. And so as you're going to each place, to get to that place is like a little puzzle, basically. So while it's technically kind of open world near the end of the game, you can kind of go anywhere you want, but that's why it's more like Secret of Mana in that way of like Secret of Mana does the same thing to where it kind of the first half of the game is filtering you through each place organically, and you're doing the puzzles and stuff like that. And then you can go back there the second half of the game and sort of kind of get the stuff. It's Metroidvania in that way of like, oh, I now have the thing where I can move the blocks. I couldn't do that before. Or so now I can do that. And then it kind of opens up the world a little bit more. Now, Mario RPG kind of had some of that stuff, but Mario RPG was very more straightforward than that kind of thing. It was, you didn't really go back to a lot of areas. So,
yeah. And, you know, and this is where I think I start to disconnect with parts of the game on my end, because as much because I really don't want to downplay just how good this combat is. I mean, if you can go back to it for just a second, like.
Yeah, we can stay on it for a while if you want.
Yeah, I mean, which is what really kind of kept me going for the most part here and there, is because the combat is really neatly done, you know. And then again, maneuvering around the world is again neatly done. Go ahead.
Yeah, the combat for me is, I'm not gonna lie. Like the first couple hours of the game, I was just like, okay, like you know, this is Mario RPG. This is Paper Mario with a little bit of Final Fantasy / Chrono Trigger. I can get behind that. But for me, I think what really opened it up was the combo attacks and the way that you. So everyone has MP or whatever, you know, has magic power, whatever you want to call it. And I'm sure this isn't the first game to do it, but the fact that I was building the MP without elixirs, and so anytime you did a successful block, you got a little bit of MP back. And then every time you did a successful attack, that's not true. Anytime you do an attack, you got 3 MP no matter what. And for me, like, being able to, I won't say not have to think about it, but being able to sort of always be building that MP bar up with different characters, once you add that third character to the mix and once you start getting more moves and all those things, like, it truly does become like it's almost in between checkers and chess. Like, it's not nearly as complicated as chess is, but it's not as easy as checkers as well. But there's different things that are on the screen. I don't remember what they call them, but there's different boxes that they put on the screen that's like, this is poison damage, this is physical damage, this is X damage. And then certain enemies, when they do their attack, they do like a build-up attack, and it might be 3 turns, but they have these little boxes above them saying like, okay, if you hit me with poison, you hit me with physical, I'm not going to use this attack anymore. But then you might have instances to where there's both of your enemies are having that. So then you have to kind of pick and choose like, okay, how am I going to attack this situation? It tells you exactly on the screen what you need to do, but you have to sort of find the pieces and to make it work. And when you start doing the MP and stuff like that, it can get pretty strategical. Is that the word? Is that a word?
Strategic, I think.
Yeah, strategic. But, yeah,
same thing.
And that's the part to where it really started clicking for me. Like, and then the other part is once you get more than 3 people, you can do a swap, but it doesn't cost a turn. Like, you can swap at literally any point that you are controlling a character. And that's the other part of it is it lets you play the game without kind of the baggage of it being a turn-based game, if that makes sense.
Oh, I think that makes perfect sense to people who have been playing these games in general, I think, because for all the great reasons in the world, these turn-based Japanese RPGs, they're all finding different ways to get around the parts of the gameplay that just kind of sucked. Like, let's be honest, you know, like even the franchise's biggest Final Fantasy, That they're just like, know what? No more mana. We don't need it anymore.
Right. Like, just you know, spam like, it. You can spam it all you want.
And as much as the game kind of sucks, I mean, Final Fantasy 13, no series, like the fact that they replenish your health after every battle, on paper, not a bad idea. Like, because again, like, what's the point of just spending money on potions? Like,
and time, really. It's a lot of time. Yeah, like, it's
exactly. So, in a way, like, this game does a lot great that it just says, like, let's respect your time in certain aspects. So, in terms of the combat and the again, specifically moving around the world, I was a big fan, like, instantly a big fan. What started to kind of disconnect me from the game, however, is that the character and the plot. So the characters for me just, it's one thing if characters don't do much. It's another thing if they don't do anything for a long time. And for me, that's what I kind of felt like with Sea of Stars. I'm going to attribute it to just the way these developers make games. Because I remember having this issue with The Messenger too. These guys, the world building is great. Like the world they built itself is great. How they tell you the world bores me to death sometimes. Like, I can't. Reading the text that these characters are saying is just really kind of boring. Like, Zale and what's the other hero's name?
Valerie.
Yeah, Zale and Valerie. They're essentially non-characters. They just want to beat the bad guys here in the world. That's it. There's literally nothing else. Like, there's no.
Well, and it's, I would say there's nothing else, but it's, they are the piece of the puzzle that everyone else is built around. But it's basically them being built around the saviors, because it's like, they are the two people that's like, they're going to save everything. Like, Garl is by far the like most interesting character. But the problem is that he's just a person compared to.
I truly hated Garl.
I don't hate Garl, but like, I definitely.
I just want to say my issue with Garl, because people love Garl.
They really do.
I just want to share my beef with Garl as a character. And it goes into the larger aspect of how the story is told. So, in the very beginning, like, you learn that Garl is was the third best friend of the group, and Zale says something like, "Well, remember the good old days?" And then the response is, "Oh, I don't want to talk about that because of the accident and what happened to Garl, and I feel so bad." And I'm thinking, this is a love letter to JRPGs. I already know what's going to happen. Garl died in some explosion or something. He turns out to be the masked villain.
Right.
The melodrama up the butt. I know what's happening. What actually happened is Garl got scratched on his eye and he's fine. There's nothing.
He lost his eye.
It doesn't matter. Like, right. it literally doesn't affect anything.
That really matters, but it's not like.
He's so happy. He's so happy about it. Like, it's not even a thing. Remember when you. Like, Corey, I don't know you that well, like, in person at all, but like through this, I feel like we're very good friends. I'm happy that we do this podcast together and we've been doing this for so long. If you ever made me lose an eye, I'll be very upset with you. Garl just doesn't care at all. And he's always the happiest thing ever, to the point where there's a point in the story where, like, I mean, no spoiler, but his life's on the line. And he's like, that's fine, guys. Don't worry about it.
Many,
like, dude, but he, like, but have a character.
I guess it's... it's very cheesy, but he's just happy to be there.
That's exactly it.
Because he's on an adventure with two superheroes. He's Hawkeye, you know, like he's just like everybody else has real superpowers, and he's just like, I'm just happy to be here. I should not be here, and that's even part of the story too, where like. Everybody else is like, why are you even here? Like, what do you even do?
Multiple people have said that to him, right, to his face.
And he's just like, I just let me do it. I can do it. Coach, put me in. I don't know. Like, I'm with you in that. Look, he's not super strongly written, but he's written to the way of like, you can't help but enjoy him. Like, I don't. Is he going to win character of the year? No,
right,
he's not.
Right.
But I enjoyed any time he had something to say. I cared about his throughput in the story. Like, yeah, so it's easy for them, I guess I want to say. Like, that's the best thing I can say is he's on the nose, but it makes sense. I definitely find other characters far more interesting. I don't know how to pronounce her name. But it's S-E-R-A-I. How did you pronounce it?
Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. So I said Sarai. That's how I pronounced it.
She's
the assassin. Like, she was by far more interesting because like there's a little. Yeah, there's a sort of like plot point that goes on a little bit too long with her of like, who is she really? But that kind of happens twice. And the second time, like what I'll say is like, I did not expect some of the ups and downs of her character. But she was interesting. And then there's another character.
I agree.
He's kind of a, I guess I don't want to go too much farther because that's not really spoilers, but like, we've really only talked about like the first like 6 hours of the game. And this is a 30 plus hour game, you know? So we're not getting that far into it, but there are other characters that I think were interesting and one more in particular. And then there's another character that is kind of introduced near the end, not nearly as interesting, but still cool. But no, like, yeah, I'll agree with you. I was not worried about the game by any point, but like I was definitely like 4 or 5 hours in, and like you kind of meet the pirates and you meet Sarai, and like I'm like, okay, like is this gonna pick up anytime soon? But it does. It did for me. Like it took too long to get there. It took about 8 to 10 hours to really get there. But once everything started like meshing into that overall thing, like you've got all the characters, you've got all the abilities, you're getting the different powers for the overworld, you're getting all these different ways to do things. Like I was hooked by hour 10, and I don't want to say I didn't expect to be hooked, but I was surprised. I went into Sea of Stars wanting to like Sea of Stars. So that changes perspectives a little bit, but by the end of Sea of Stars, I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. And that's,
I wouldn't say that changed your perspective a little bit, just because I think we go into all these games hoping to like them a lot. Like, truly, like, I mean, like, even something like Starfield, where I feel like I made my opinion, I feel like I still wanted to like it. So I feel like that's a way we go into all these games. I do wish I got to that point where this story in the plot was rolling downhill for me. It just wasn't. It was always this slow, creeping climb of just, again, just how they tell a story. Just like it's very long-winded.
Yeah, and
like everything's long-winded.
I wanted to touch on that a little bit because we were kind of having this conversation via text, and it seemed like the, like you said, like once the story starts rolling downhill, like when you get to the top and then it's like, okay, like stuff is about to go down and you're sort of reaching the end of the game. It's great. Like, honestly, like I think we both agree that it's fantastic once it gets to that point. For you though, it seems like it took about that 20 hour mark to get there, which is, that's too long. Like, and I see where you're coming from, but.
That's because the game is way more linear than it lets on. If you play this game, expect like, and that's part where my frustration came from too, is because something like a Secret of Mana or a Tales of Phantasia or any of those older games, they have these large open worlds. They have these places you can go, but they don't invite you to go per se. You're on a steady path until it says, okay, here's your airship. Now you can do whatever you want. Whereas CSRs would say, all right, here's a boat. Go wherever you want. All right, I'm gonna go over here. Can't go there yet. Can't go there yet. What about here? Can't go there. Okay, fine. And then it goes, oh, wait, here's the mechanic that you could turn back time. Oh, cool. I know a place over there. Let me go over there. Wait, can't get to there yet.
Right.
Okay, how about here? Can't get to there yet. So I kept spending time going out of my way, treating it like an RPG that I normally play. And it's like, no, this is a very if I have any main tip for anyone, for when people play this game, mainline it hardcore. Like hardcore mainline until the game flat out says, now you go around and do whatever you want.
Yeah, and it's pretty obvious when you get to that point, when you'll get there. And I guess that's fair, because the game definitely teases you throughout the game of like, you can't do this right now. You know, like it does that, the Metroidvania thing of like, And I had those same reactions of like, okay, like I've got this thing now, like, okay, I want to go back and do the thing, right? Like I remember this thing. I don't remember everything, but I bet you if I go there right now, I can find something really cool. And the thing is, you do find stuff that's really cool. However,
yeah, like a rainbow shell.
And
super cool.
We'll talk about that. It does all that, it very much kind of gets to a point where it's like, okay, now all that stuff you remembered, now go do that. If you try to do that too soon, you're going to run into some walls that are kind of annoying, because like the game doesn't ever flat out tell you to not do it. So then you almost kind of want to beat it, you know, just like, hey, I want to do the thing and I can't do the thing because there's, you know, some story event or some story quest or whatever that's kind of in your way. But at the same time, like, I don't know if other people would run into that issue. Like, because we're not completionists, but like, I think these style of games, like these style of just like Pathfinder style games kind of speak to us a little bit more of like, okay, I got the thing. I want to do the thing now. I guess this is a small spoiler, but basically all of that extra stuff that you're doing is basically to build up your strength for the final battle. And it doesn't ever communicate that. Like, because once you get to that point, you can go to the final battle if you want to, but if you go and do the other things, like you get a lot more of that world building, a lot of stuff that you can get to help you at the end battle. It's very like Zelda in that way kind of thing.
Or even Chrono Cross, when you get all the right items, right? You can like essentially one-shot or get the true ending. I mean, that part to me makes sense, you know? Like, it just wasn't...
It's not handled fantastic. I guess I don't know the issue with it. I don't know if it assumes that we're too stupid. I don't know if it assumes we're too smart. Like, is it just not conveyed well? You know, it might be a victim of the fact of like, you have to work in with what world that you're building, and the world isn't small by any means. But at the same time, what's the word I want to use here? Like building that world and being able to make it so that way you can come back to it is not an easy task. So perhaps that mentality of like, hey, we're building this world so that way you can visit it again and find new things. Maybe that is the problem of maybe they make it too obvious that you can find new things. You know, it's not like, what was that game with the fox, the isometric one? Tunic. Tunic, where it's like, yo, this stuff was in front of you the whole time. You just didn't know it. Like it's not like that at all. It's very much like, yo, there's something that you can do here. You just can't do it yet. but I guess one more thing on that is, and this is going to sound a little bit like apologist, but it's like, I think that where you and I are different in what this developer is trying to do is, I see the world of the Messenger and Sea of Stars as a character, if that makes sense.
So no, that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah, and so again, this takes place in the same world as the Messenger. It is set thousands of years before. So if you're, you know,
essentially,
if you're
hoping, a spoiler, I guess, right? I don't know. Does it matter?
They said that in okay, all the, cool. the marketing and stuff like that.
All right.
You said something about I was waiting for the game to do the thing, and I guess spoilers for the Messenger, which you know, whatever. Although maybe not. So I guess I'll tread lightly. If for some odd reason you're playing this and you haven't played The Messenger, play the messenger. It's a completely different game type, but
That's not, I want to come back to as well, but continue.
Yeah, it's the messenger is, it plays on what you think the game is like. And it's very much a, it's not quite like a, what's that card game I had you play? I cannot remember the name of anything today.
Oh, Inscription.
Yeah. Like Inscription is a game, like within a game kind of thing. Like it's very much like breaking the third wall and all that.
That's just a genius. Yeah.
A genius game. But the messenger is more like it's really funny, and it takes what 8-bit and 16-bit games did. And it's a love letter to those games, while also it's giving you a whole bunch of different games and kind of cramming them into one and doing it in my opinion, a genius way of celebrating that era of games. Sea of Stars tries to do that. However, it's a different genre. It's just different. And it seemed like that you were hoping for more of that messenger DNA of just like, I want you to make a love letter, but I want you to have a lot of fun with this and do things I'm not expecting. And it doesn't really do that. It doesn't ever do anything not expected.
It's just an RPG. and that's where it started, and that's where it officially sort of lost me in terms of loving it. Again, I don't want to come off saying, I'm not coming off by saying this game is anyway even close to bad. I enjoyed my time with this game. Again, the battle system is fantastic. But once I realized, oh, this is just an RPG, that's where I started to truly just kind of be like, I don't think I need to finish this one anymore, because I liked the messenger, but I didn't love the messenger. And if you don't even play the messenger, just coming up with some random number, I would say 35% of this game, you just don't even get. Like, it's just, like, it doesn't even make sense. Like enemies repeat, for example. And then like the, literally half the story, well, more than half the story is about the messenger. Like, if you don't play the messenger, then you're losing a ton of stuff in this game. You're just playing it for the RPG aspect of it. And that's where, for me, that's where the story and character really need to shine through. The characters did not do it for me. The story's there. Like, it's fine. Like, you think it's one thing, and then it's like, oh, wait, it's another thing. I mean, for anyone who's ever played Star Ocean, it's just that story. Like, again, like, and it's told good enough, but just not good enough for me personally to be like, wow. Like, you know, and that's only because I didn't connect so much with the messenger. Because by the end of it, again, it's just, remember the messenger? This is how it fits to the bigger piece. And now there's a bigger piece. And I'm like, I respect it. I truly do. I just do not care about the messenger's world that much.
Yeah, I would push back and say that I think you could totally not play the messenger and have no indication at all that this is connected to another game. And I think that's part of, I don't want to say that's part of the magic, because that's not true. But what I want to say is, like, that's not a bad thing in my opinion, if that makes sense.
No, I feel like you're missing a good chunk of what makes the game though, because it's the whole, like, literally more than half the story connects with a different story that already happened. So like, it doesn't wow you nearly as much as someone who knows the messenger's world in and out. Cause like you said, it's a character, and I agree with that. If you don't know that character, then you're not going to go, whoa. It's like the Star Trek movie, like a reboot movie, where it's like, because I'm Khan, and it's like, right. So what? Who are you? Like, and that's not to say the Khan character wasn't good in that movie, because it is. I like that character in the movie, but if you don't know who Khan is, that whole thing is like, eh.
But I totally get what you're saying, but I think that's the genius of it, though, is that it works in both ways. Like, if you don't know who Khan is, you are now introduced to this character, and you're now going to go and you can now watch Star Trek 2 and be like, okay, like, I get it now. And so, yeah, it's lost on you that first time, but you still get the other half of that, whatever you want to call it, that magic, whether you experience it the front ways or back ways, eventually you'll get it, but you do get it in a different scenario. And Sea of Stars is, I think saying 30 to 50%, like, I think that's quite high. I think it's more like 10 to 15% because there's a lot of little nods in here and there's a lot of things that sort of directly correlate to the messenger, but they truly do live on their own separate entities. There's definitely fan service in here though. Like there is some straight up fan service of people that love the messenger of like, hey, you know, like if you played those games, then yes, 100%, you're going to get more out of this particular moment, but it's not like you're going to get more out of the game entirely. Like you're not going to suddenly understand the game better or play the game differently because you've played the messenger. For instance, what I'll say without going to spoilers is there's music that they redo from the messenger. And one thing about the messenger that was really good was that it had an 8-bit rendition and then it had that 16-bit Sega Genesis style soundtrack as well. And they kind of made every sound, track in that distinct sound period from each time. And now you get to hear it from the Super Nintendo aspect of it, because this is very much a Super Nintendo sounding game and looking game. That's a deep cut, right? Like, it's like, man, if you love this track, you now get to hear it another way or experience other things in the messenger again another way. However, you experience it the right, you can still experience it in Sea of Stars the first time and have a really good time with it. And now when you go to the messenger and you get to that particular part, again, it's, you're not wrong, but I don't think it loses anything because somebody can still have that moment. They're just not going to have it now, if that makes sense.
No, again, I would agree with that. They will have them, but again, I think we agreed in a roundabout way because they can have that moment. You just have to go get it now, which is why I'm saying, like, you should play the messenger first to get it.
But you can still have it in the messenger because no matter which one you play first, like, again, you'll get it a different way. But now you can sort of play it. Like, the problem is I had a movie in mind that basically does this thing. I mean, it's anytime that it's Star Wars. That's what it was. It's Star Wars. Like
Star Wars again. Oh, Star Trek last time.
Yeah, Star Wars, where, you know, they went and did the whole prequel thing. And it's like, okay, now you know who Darth Vader is. It's like, but now the current generation of people, they could watch these movies and see Darth Vader in a completely different way, but they still get the same story, if that makes sense. I don't know if the fact that if you originally watched 4, 5, and 6 of Star Wars, and then you go back and you watch 1, 2, and 3, and which, by the way, can I just quickly say, I've been tooting the horn of the prequel trilogy being actually good for about 20 years now.
Oh,
and
you're
I'm annoyed that finally everybody else is like, you know what? Maybe those movies weren't so bad.
No. This is revisionist history. This is revisionist history because two reasons. Reddit. That Reddit prequel memes, that is a good subreddit. I'm not gonna lie, that's a very good subreddit. The sequel trilogy sucks so much.
That's my point.
That's what it is.
At the time, I am a huge Star Wars person, but I do not hold Star Wars in some light of like this is the pinnacle of cinema. Star Wars is dumb and I love it. And that's why I always like the prequel trilogy. Because I'm like, it doesn't take it. I want to see space wizards have sword fights. That's what I want to see. Like,
that's
exactly.
What I came
for. So anyway,
that's what I came for. Yeah.
But my point is that I think that no matter which way you experience this, you're going to get something out of it. And I think that's the magic.
Yeah.
That's the magic of these games, in my opinion. And that's why I kind of call the world a character, because it's like I get to see this world in different ways. There's not really any characters that are coming forward or backwards or anything like that. So there's nothing like that, but there's a lot of little things that connect to the messenger. But if I played Sea of Stars, I can go to the messenger and now say like, oh, okay. Like I know what this means before, whereas people didn't before, you know? And it's, so I don't want
to
go ahead.
The good thing at the end of the day is this is exactly what the purpose of the RPG is.
Right.
It's connect. Oftentimes you get really great intricate battle systems and they're all really fun and all really great, but at the end of the day what people come back to, because like again people keep talking like at one point, I don't know who started this campaign that this is basically Chrono Trigger. Like again, I haven't played Chrono Trigger in a long time, but when people talk about Chrono Trigger, it's not the battle system. It's never right. the battle system.
Yeah, it's not.
It's something like the Trial of Chrono. Like, that was an amazing deconstruction of a character at the time, like, in this era of gaming. Like, it's magical storytelling. When people talk about Final Fantasy 3 or 6, depending on what version you play, they're not talking about the battle system. They're talking about that epic intro. They're talking about the opera or the singing scene on a roof. It's wow. Like, they're telling these stories with these characters. It's crazy. If you end up playing Sea of Stars and love it, that's the greatest thing, because you get it. Like this is the whole point of the RPG genre, in my opinion. You latch onto these stories and these characters, and they stand the test of time. So that I didn't connect with them is absolutely fine, because you did. And so I think, I mean, if it gets you and other people playing more RPGs like this, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, and that's for me, it's the Messenger spoke to me more, if I'm being honest. And I think part of that was because of the humor, because writing funny things in video games is extremely difficult. And
this is annoying here. I hate it here. I really did.
A couple of the on the nose things in Sea of Stars they weren't funny. You know, it's just like, oh, like there's one character in particular that kind of breaks
that
the fourth wall.
That robot character sucks.
Yeah,
character.
Really kind of, I would not say it's annoying, but to me they were just misses. You know, it wasn't Borderlands style where it's just like, this is just like, you have missed the mark completely. But it was more of just like, the Messenger again, but context matters though too. Like, maybe it just happened to be the Messenger delivered it in a way that I appreciated. Who knows? But
it's a little less windy. This is super like the scrolling in this game is super long. I just never
When I think of like Final Fantasy 6 or 4 even, like that has some long scrolling, like some
you're
long
right.
You're scrolling.
You're not wrong. You're
and
not wrong.
Yeah, Sea of Stars, just I never got that feeling of it of like, yo, like just stop talking. Like I never got that feeling. Like, and so it's again, it is not a grand slam. It is not a anything like that, but it's I enjoy RPGs very much like Chrono Trigger and Super Mario RPG, because while they're not super intensive in the narrative, they respect my time. And I'm a fan of active time battling of I don't need to constantly mid-max my equipment. I don't need to mid-max XYZ or make sure I've got enough potions and make sure I've got enough mana. Like that's the stuff that I'm just over it. You know, like I did it a long time ago and I'm over it. And so that's where this game is. I think it just excelled for that. Like, I was able to concentrate on everything that's good about the game. And I would call the story good. It takes a long time to get there, but I was hooked at one point and I had to see it through. And so for this game, like it checked all the boxes for me. And What I'll say is, like, I did not, at one point we were kind of like talking back and forth, and like I was like, this is the greatest 8.0 that I've played in years, you know, like, and I was like, I don't think it's going to stick the landing. That's at one point where I was like 8 to 10 hours in, I was like, okay, this clearly, like, this isn't going anywhere, like, in terms of this isn't going to like take any drastic turns, and it takes a couple turns, but I don't know what moment it was or what exactly happened where I was just like, all right, I've got to see this through now. And I did not expect that. And by the end of the game, which we'll talk about in a second, which we're not going to go into spoilers, but I was kind of just like, shocked isn't the right word, because I was not floored by anything, but I was just surprised how the risks that they took in some ways. And I respect them for that. And how the story officially closes, I was kind of like, okay, like, I did not expect you guys to care about your characters and your ending to this degree. And so I think that's why it hit for me. And just, I was like, it's not a home run, but I was surprised how much I cared. And part of that might be because I've got recency bias of like Final Fantasy 16 and the way that game ends. And it's just, I'm just like, I don't care. Like you guys clearly didn't care either. You know, like the game just kind of ends and you're like, okay, like next game. And this game, I was just like, no, like if anything, it made me want to go play the Messenger again to experience it. And that's the magic of this game in terms of both these games is they've somehow created a world. And even though the characters aren't the best, like the shopkeeper's still the best character by far in this world. But the fact that they're able to build this
shopkeeper, the architect guy, the
guy in the cloak.
The librarian dude, whatever his name is.
Yes.
The archives
yes.
guy. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. That's not the shopkeeper. The shopkeeper's in
Messenger. Oh, the shopkeeper. That's right. Yes. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're thinking of Hassan. Not Hassan. Yeah, what's exactly. his name? Rashan. That's his name.
Yes.
He's by far the best character in this world, and he's in the Messenger. But the fact that they're able to make these worlds that I really want to explore and experience is fun for me. And I just didn't, by the end of CSRs, I didn't expect that, I guess. Based on the first 10 hours, I did not expect the last 13, 15, whatever, to be as good as they were. So that's what I'll say. But there is a critical flaw of this game that we have to address. It's a very minor spoiler. We're not going to go into the end of the game, but we're going to talk about how you get to the end of the game. And it truly takes this game from I think I could make an argument that this game is a 10 out of 10, but there's absolutely no way that I could ever give this game a 10 out of 10 because of this one part. And that is that it gives you a false ending, and to get to the real ending is annoying. That's the best way I can say it.
So before you go into it, I want to rewind and go back to a point in the conversation where I talked about where you talked about exploration. My biggest problem with this game at points was the exploration or lack thereof. There's often, like, again, with these RPGs, you never just mainline. You never just go down the middle row. You take a left first, then you take a right, then you double back, go right to the left, and then you clean out everything before you head out to that till you get to the boss. It's just how you play any of these games. So I tried doing that, and I ended up spending way too much time going through the world finding dead ends, except for when I didn't. And as you said, there are secrets you can find. The secrets are locked away, or not locked away, but hidden away techniques or special techniques that you use in battle, which I think is just, again, not good design. You shouldn't put your techniques in the random treasure boxes. But also, the only other thing you find is rainbow conches or rainbow shells or whatever, seashells. Like, as you're playing this game for 15 hours and all you're finding is shells, I'm sorry, but I'm getting real freaking annoyed. I don't care about exploring anymore. But that leads into what you're about to say about the ending.
Yeah, and again, this goes back to the second half of the game, or when they take off the rails of it, whatever you want to call it. The exploration is quite good because you are finding the stuff that you want to find. You're finding weapons. You're finding entire plot lines, entire bosses, entire mysteries of this world that you truly have to solve. Like they don't tell you where it is. You have to listen to what they're saying and figure it out.
That part.
Yeah, but again, it's locked behind the last part of the game, and that's unfortunate. But what I'll say is, and maybe I'm thinking about this wrong, maybe I'm not, but like, so the game quote ends, and it sort of teases you, like saying, "Hey, you should go back to this place." I was like, "Okay." I fully expected to go back to this place, and like, I expected a teaser for whatever their next project is. You know, what Sea of Stars 2, Messenger 2, whatever.
First of all, let me cut you off again, but there are hints of this door throughout the gameplay. Like, if you do certain things, the door will light up.
Oh, no, that's, you're thinking of a different door. There's two doors.
Oh, Jesus.
So, for full context here, you watched it on YouTube. I actually did it, just to put that out there. Not that made it sound like I'm better than you. That's not what I meant. But it was
exactly
so annoying.
What you meant, and I'm offended.
It was so annoying to the point that you didn't care anymore. I basically warned you, saying like, "Hey, just so you know, like, again, I expected a small teaser. Like, no, the entire ending of this game is locked behind these conch shells that are extremely annoying to find. And like, I'm not saying like, oh, hey, like, the ending's a little bit different. No, the actual ending, like the entire last 2 hours of the game, is locked behind this quest. And it basically goes and it says, hey, like, you should go back to this place and check this out. And you go back there and it sort of gives you these hints of like, hey, you should, what's this about? And one of them is these conch shells. There's 60 of them. You have to find all of them to open this door. And when I opened the door, I did not expect what was behind that door. Again, I expected like a teaser for the next game. No, the entire ending's behind that door. Like the last 2 hours of the game is behind that door. And I just like, I was in shock in like a good way of just like, wow, like, okay, like this is not what I expected of this. Okay, cool. Like I now have 2 more hours of this game to play in a way that I did not expect that completely changes everything. And at the same time, it's like, yo, a lot of people could miss this. Like a lot of people. That's crazy. Like why it's really just the conch shells, because there's 6 missions that you do basically. And the conch shells is like the most annoying one. The other ones are just like, hey, go play Sea of Stars and explore the world and find the cool stuff. And the last one's like conch shells. And I'm like, if it just wasn't for the conch shells, I would not be nearly annoyed with this. And in fact, I would call this genius. But why are the conch shells? I don't understand why you lock the ending behind this. And that's, again, to me, it's a fatal flaw because no spoilers. We will talk about this game more in our game of the year where we have full open spoilers. But like,
if you don't,
I'm not crazy though, right? Like the entire ending of the game is significantly better with this plot line. Like it changes characters' perspectives. It changes like characters' motivations. It changes villains' motivations, like everything.
If you're already burnt out at this point, then you're not, if you already don't love the story, if you already or just anywhere on the fence, you're not going to complete this task. This doesn't make sense for you to.
Even with a guide, it's kind of tedious because there's a couple of those shells that are just in kind of weird locations. It's like, how would anybody find this? Like, how would it, like, I don't like, when I was done with it, I had, I think it was 43 of the 60. I searched pretty thoroughly through most of these places. Now, the game does give you sort of a tool where it's like on the overmap. Yeah. If you press a button, it's like, hey, there's still something here. Cool. And it's like, okay, that doesn't tell me much. So it's, again, it's bold. It's bold to put to make that decision, but I guess I just don't understand why.
It's dumb. Yeah. It's dumb. It's just dumb. I mean, like, but in a game otherwise where it actually does respect your time, where it actually does cut corners in a good way, where like it cuts out a lot of that JRPG fat. If this is the one really dumb thing they do, then it's passable. Like, you know, I'm not gonna hold it against it, but at the same time, I'm not gonna fire 60 shells. Like I have better things to do.
Yeah, it's like, wild.
I don't care if they were easy to find. I'm still not just going around finding 60 shells just cause. Well,
for me, it would be if they were easy to find and they were along the way, like then it sort of defeats the purpose of them. Like,
right.
I guess, so it's like, I don't understand from a design point. I would love to sit down. You know, they're not a big developer. I wonder if I could get one of them. I'm going to ask. I'm going to see if I can get one of them. Just like, please tell me about this. Like, I don't want to like roast you and be like, hey, I love your game, but by the way, like, I'd be interested, but it's just, I don't understand the design because it's so like you said, in a game that is so focused on respecting your time and like kind of removing the boring stuff of RPGs, why did you lock the actual ending behind one of the most tedious part of the game? It's truly weird. And at some, I want to know what it was like in that room of discussing this decision and this idea and how they got through it. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe they'll say there's an explanation for this that makes perfect sense, but I can't come up with one. So
my conspiracy theory is that it's because of the nature of the beast. When you make these love letters to things, no matter how much you update it, no matter how much you cut the fat, no matter how much you respect the player's time, there's always things you have to put in your game that are holdovers from the love letter that you're writing that just sucks. And you see it a lot in the JRPGs. Like, just, you don't need to do these things anymore. And I feel like that's someone going, wouldn't it be cool if we put something in there? Like, and I think I called it something like Dodging Lightning in Final Fantasy X. And it's like, no, it's not cool, actually. Don't do that.
Right. It's actually incredibly annoying. Like, so, but yeah. So Sea of Stars, we've talked about it quite enough. Pass it, play it. It is quite good. It will be a front runner for me for, you know, one of my favorite games of the year. So, but this year is stacked. So it's going to be interesting. If anything, it's also inspired me more. And I knew I was going to have to play, Chained Echoes just because I need to be able to defend.
You broke up for a second in Discord, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. I said I'm going to have to play Chained Echoes so I can defend myself when I tell you that Sea of Stars is better. I don't know that. Who knows? Maybe I'll fall in love with Chained Echoes, but I got to play that one still too. So, but yeah, so I'm assuming you're on the same page. Play this game.
Yeah, it's good. Play it. Just again, main tip, if you've listened to any of this, mainline it the best you can. Don't go too far off the beaten path, and you'll find everything you need at the end, right before that final boss.
Right. In terms of the future, so Liza P came out. We're definitely gonna be playing that. I'm more curious about the game than anything. Payday 3 is
already
coming out.
Did it
in a couple days. So we're gonna be talking about that. We got a couple other small games to talk about that. Like I got Quake 2. You've got a couple games that you want to get out there. Solar Ash looks interesting. I want to play that. But also they announced Gotham Knights is dropping on Game Pass, which that game's not good from what I've heard. But, okay, two things about the game. I want to know, A, like, I just want to look at it because, like, people made it seem like this is this, like, focus-tested the game. You know, just, like, and so, like, I want to see if it's truly as egregious as people make it out to be. And B, that game flopped really hard, and like I have to know why, if that makes sense. So I'm gonna make Basher play that a little bit at least. So we're gonna talk about that. But the thing is, like, this is one of those years, like, Game Pass is like they're on it this year. Like, we've had a lot of big games, but there's not a lot of smaller games. So like it's taking us a little bit longer to get through a lot of these games. So I think this might be a year, like, when December hits, I think we might just have to kind of like cut it off. Like, okay, we just got to catch up. like we've got to cut the list off so that way we can get through everything. Because this is one of those years where, like, there's so many long games that when it comes time for game of the year, I want to be educated on all the games that we're talking about. So it's going to be interesting, I guess, is what I'm saying. But so that's what we're going to be talking about. Is there anything else? I sent you that list over today. Did you take a look at it of what's dropping?
The thing I'm most looking forward to, honestly, is the Batman game, just because it has Red Hood in it, and I'll play something with Red Hood in it. Why not?
Yeah, so Party Animals, Gotham Knights, Lamplighters League. I don't know why people are freaking out about Lamplighters League. I don't know what that is. Maybe if I saw it again, I would remember it, but I don't remember. Party Animals is another one that people are super excited about. I feel like I'm just like out. It's pretty rare that I don't have my fingers on the pulse of the industry, but like I feel like I missed something on Party Animals and Lamplighters League. I don't know what Cocoon is either. So interesting, but like, yeah, the Payday 3. So this drop in particular seems to be pretty big just in terms of time. So we're going to be checking all that out. But all right, that's going to do it for this episode. 574-651-9256. Let us know what games you're looking forward to. Let us know what you think of Sea of Stars. And as we quickly are approaching October, that's the other one. Forza's coming out this year. I'm a big Forza guy. Basher's going to have to play some Forza, I guess.
I already played it.
You're a jerk.
You play R to go. Like,
Have you heard the term CarPG?
Oh my God, people suck.
Yeah, exactly.
Leave me alone.
PlayStation
fanboys figured out we're done with Gran Turismo. Like, you Xbox guys, your room, your pew pews, this is all you care about.
No. I'm going to be CarPG-ing it up, sir. That's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with probably Lies of P.
Good day, sirs.